Welcome back to our series of discussions on the subject of writing scripts for JAWS for Windows. We're in session 4 here. And last time we had written a script for Notepad and attached it to a hotkey. And our intent was that every time we'd press the hotkey, we would count up one each time. So we'd basically count the number of keystrokes. And when we did it, we pressed the hotkey and it just said
one.
Kept saying one over and over and over. This time to figure out what the mystery is. Let's go see what the deal is. We're in Notepad at the moment. If I press insert 0.
JAWS script manager dash left bracket notepad.jss right bracket notepad.jss.
We're into Notepad and we want to find that function. It was test 2 as I recall. So we do a control L.
Control L script list. Test 2. Enter. Notepad.jss test 2.
And we're positioned at.
Script test 2 left there and right there.
This just did a say line there. And let's take a look.
Script test 2 left there and right. Int s. Var.
Okay, on the next line it said var.
Int s.
And int x.
Len.
Well, it turns out there are two basic classes of variables. And what we've declared is called a local variable, meaning that its definition is restricted to this particular script. And with this kind of variable, what happens is normally, the memory for that variable is not allocated. But when the script runs, JAWS lays aside the memory temporarily, labels it X, and lets you use it. When the script terminates, finishes what it's doing, that memory is discarded, and X no longer exists. Now, each time you run the script, X is initialized to 0, and that's, and then our logic, let's look at it here. The next line says,
let X equals X plus 1.
So we're going to let X equals X plus 1. So normally it's 0. Then we run this line, which turns it into a 1. And then we execute the next line.
Say integer left there and X right there.
The say integer call, speaking the value of X. So that's why it's 1 every single time. Now, with a variable like that, you can have a variable called X in all of your scripts. And they're all totally unique. They have nothing to do with one another. Their name just happens to be the same, but no value is exchanged between them. They're just like, they're totally independent things. What we really want is a variable that JAWS will remember from one execution of this script to the next. That's the other class of variable called global variables. We're going to make one here. To do that, we're going to delete this local variable up here. Okay, we'll take the var and the int x out. I'll do a couple of shift down arrows here.
Select int s.
Okay, and delete it.
Length. Script test 2 left there and right there. Length. Let x equals x plus 1. Length.
Okay, so we've gotten rid of that altogether. Let's go to the top of the script file. We're in notepad.jss here. I'll do a control home, I guess it is.
Length.
We're actually at the top of the file.
Include quotes const.j. Length. Use quotes no underline m. Length. Length.
I'll skip those statements there that are there at the moment, and we won't discuss them now. We'll get more into that at the time, okay? So we'll talk more about how the script file is actually laid out when we know what some of these pieces actually mean. It'll just make more sense then. At the top of the file, it doesn't matter whether it's at the very top or down after some of the things you just heard, include and that sort of thing, you can say
G-L-O-B-A-L-S
globals.
Enter.
Now, that means we're going to declare some global variables here. And you can do them here. Other people do them off in a JSH file. That's kind of a matter of style, whether you do it in the JSH file and then include that into here. For our convenience, we're going to do it right here. All right, we're on the blank line after globals. And I like to do a tab key to indent these.
Tab.
And that's really nice for when you're looking at it on a Braille display or printed out in some way. It doesn't help you. Indentation just really doesn't help you that much when you're working with speech. But it is nice when you can use it. So I try to support that here as I write these, since I like to use the Braille display when it's available. Now, we're going to declare X.
I-N-T space X.
It's an integer called X. And we'll talk about that name in a second here, because there's an important comment to make about that name. If I wanted to declare another global variable here, I would put a comma and then go to the next line and indent with one tab and then do int y or whatever it is that I wanted to do. So you got to have them all separated by commas, except the last one shouldn't have a comma after it. Play by those rules and the compiler will love you to death. Okay, the comment about the name X. Here's the deal with global variables. When you first start JAWS up, no memory is set aside for this variable. But the first time you run this notepad application, in our case, JAWS will look at the script file and see that there is a global called X, and it'll lay memory aside for it, and it'll attach the name X to it. And now every time you reference X from here on, you'll get that piece of memory. You'll get that value until you close JAWS. In other words, I can exit Notepad, totally close that application, go off and do something else, come back in and start Notepad up, and that X will be right where we left it, the same value. An interesting side effect from that is what happens when you run it a second time. JAWS picks up your script file and sees that you have a global variable called X, and it looks at its database and it says, well, I've already got one called X, so we'll just point you to that guy. We won't set aside any new memory. Well, what you can do is you can actually mention the global X, declare it just as we've done here, globals, int X, in a script file for a totally different application. And when you run that application, it can reference the same variable, X. That can lead to some bad side effects if you accidentally cross your globals like that, because nobody will know. There's no error message to tell you that some other application has a global name, the same thing you do. And they will modify one another's values. But on the other hand, if you know what you're doing and you don't mind that, you can actually use these global variables to communicate information between applications, which can be rather handy, actually. Now, a way to keep yourself out of trouble here, for example, would be to name your global variables uniquely for the application that you're in. For example, I might precede my globals with NP underscore for Notepad, just as an example. So, we've got a global declared here.
That's length.
Then let's just compile the script and see if it runs.
Control S, compile complete. Notepad.js.
Control S, made it compile and save, and it sounds happy. So let's Alt Tab over here.
Alt Tab, untitled dash notepad. Untitled notepad.
Now we'll press our F12 key that runs our script.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Hey, that's doing just what we want. Well, let's exit Notepad for a second here.
Alt F4, JAWS script manager dash left bracket.
Okay, we closed him entirely, and it threw me back to the script manager as the next app in line here. My hotkey to activate Notepad.
Alt Control N. Untitled Notepad.
It's up again.
8, 9, 10, 11.
That global still is there. So if I close JAWS, then that's the only way that it'll set it back to zero. Okay, so we got what we want there. And let's say that we wanted to modify that behavior, and what we really would like to do is have it stop at 5 and reset back to 1. So it'd go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. To do that, we need to conditionally control the flow of execution in our script. And we do that with what's called the if statement. And if allows us to, it's just like any language, and I'll say this for those of you who are really not into languages, what we're going to do is test the value of X to see if it's 6 or not. If it's 6, we're going to set it back to 1. So the format of an if statement is if followed by, I typically put a space, but all spaces are optional. You don't ever have to put a space in with the script manager. It makes it easier for some reasons. If open paren expression, and I'll tell you what an expression is in a second, close paren, then, got to have the keyword then there, and on the next lines, you can have then a series of statements, all of which will execute only if the if statement is true. Tell you what true means in a second. Followed by the keyword endif, E-N-D-I-F. Although, actually, optionally, you can put the keyword else, and that would allow you to set up a group of statements that would execute only if the initial expression was false. So the format there is if, condition, then, block of statements that you run when it's true, else, block of statements you run when it's false, and if. So that's the general case, and you don't have to have an else. In fact, often you don't. JAWS also provides an ELIF operator, ELIF, and it's just like saying else if. When you use that, what happens is you have a series of ifs, and JAWS executes them, evaluates them one at a time, and when it finds one that's true, it picks the block of statements associated with that one, and then goes right down to the end if. And the format of that is if, condition, then, on the next line, block of statements, and then elif, another condition, then, next line, another block of statements, and then another elif. You can have as many elifs as you like, as a matter of fact, and I've seen lots of them in various cases, and then ultimately an end if. So even if you're using else or elif, the if condition is matched by an end if. And as I may have mentioned, if you don't put your end ifs in there, you'll find very unpleasant compile results and very difficult to understand, as a matter of fact. Now, I like to indent, and I think it's helpful to indent when you write an if statement. So you write, let's say that you're at the left margin, you write your first if, and that line ends in the word then. You go to the next line and indent one tab and write some more statements that are going to now execute if that if condition is true. Each of these lines should start with a tab key. If one of those lines includes an if statement, so you're going to further qualify your execution. When you get to the then on the end of that line, you press enter, come back to the next, and now you do two tabs. And you stay, keep indenting further as you go deeper and deeper. And then when you encounter an end if, you put in one fewer tabs, so it comes back out toward the left margin a little bit. And that really looks good on a Braille display. It helps you kind of keep track of what goes with what. Another thing that's helpful to do is on the end if, you can put a comment. And you can always do this with any statement, it turns out. After the last character of the statement, put a few spaces in, and then push a semicolon, and then you can write English, anything you like, because the compiler will ignore everything after the semicolon. So, for example, on the if I have if x equals 9, then, and maybe that means something important to me, I have a block of statements then, and then maybe I have a lot of statements. And then down at the end if that belongs to this if, I'll put some spaces after the end if, and then semicolon, and say end of x equals 9. And that helps me keep track of which if this belongs to, which can be helpful to unravel the problem of the compiler complaining because you don't have enough end ifs. We don't have enough time to demonstrate this. Next time we will explore more about the if. If you have any comments you'd like to make about the series or questions you'd like us to discuss here on the air, send your messages to scriptman@acbradio.org.